Happy Monday to all of you from us here at Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Luann Crane here with Ryan Dobson. And Ryan, before we get started, many of our listeners by now will have heard about your dad's recent accident about a week ago. But for those who haven't, fill us in.
Well, Luann, we've tried to keep our listeners up to date via email and Facebook. Yeah. But for those who haven't heard, 2 weekends ago, I was with my mom and dad in Montana. Just taking a much-needed weekend away, and my dad fell off a horse that he was riding, and he broke 9 bones in all. He cracked 7 ribs, his shoulder, and his collarbone.
My goodness.
It was a hard fall.
It was. We've already heard from so many listeners on Facebook sharing your prayers and well wishes for Dr. Dobson's recovery. Thank you to so many of you who have sent your love and prayers. They are deeply being felt, I know, by your dad as well.
It's true. Not just by us, but he's been reading some of the Facebook posts and really is overwhelmed by the support and the love people are showing. And he has great doctors here. He is under fantastic care and is getting some much needed rest.
That's exactly what we all want him to do, Ryan.
Absolutely. And to help him recover quickly, we are giving him the week off here at Family Talk and revisiting some of the classic broadcasts we've done with him.
It's the least we can do. So today we're going to hear a program that your dad, Dr. Dobson, recorded last year on the topic of girls and puberty. That's a tricky subject to say the least, Ryan.
Well, it is. And Laura is pregnant, and we think it's a girl, and I am listening and taking copious notes on this broadcast.
Well, we've got some practical advice today, Ryan, straight from your dad's best-selling book, Bringing Up Girls.
I have my highlighter out now.
Do you really?
I do.
Good for you. I do need to note, the week prior to this conversation first airing, we had featured a program with Charles Stone and his daughter, Heather Anderson. Heather had gone through a really tough time of rebellion during her teenage years, and during this broadcast, Dr. Dobson notes how common that really is in girls as they start to encounter those ups and downs of puberty. And he actually decided to dedicate an entire show to helping parents understand this phenomenon of female adolescence. And that's what we'll be revisiting today.
And if anybody would like to catch that conversation with Heather and her dad, they can listen in at familytalk.org. So let's join this conversation we had with my dad not too long ago on this Family Talk broadcast.
Let's get right to the heart of it. How do we explain what those teenagers like Heather are experiencing?
Well, it's a very important topic because every parent eventually deals with it one way or another as their youngsters come through adolescence. But obviously in Heather's case, that was a difficult time for her socially. And she talked in her book and on our program about hurtful harassment that she was subjected to in school, especially about her physical body. Now, as tough as that was, and I don't minimize it for a minute, I think that was just the backdrop for the behavioral problems that she began to exhibit. It's likely that her great anger and her agitation at home and at school as well was a reaction to the onset of puberty, which is a dramatic period of sexual maturation and awakening that typically begins about that time, between 11, 12, or 13 years of age in girls. It happens in girls earlier than it does in boys. Now, I don't want to be too technical here, and I'm concerned about doing that, but we really do need to talk about what happens in the brains of girls in early adolescence. Puberty is set in motion by chemical signals that are emitted from a remarkable area of the midbrain called the hypothalamus. And when the time is right, this gland sends out hormones, two in particular, LH and FSH, that are then received by the pituitary, which is also in the brain. It's an aspirin-sized structure that sits right at the base of the brain. And despite its tiny size, it's been called the master gland because it influences and controls the other glands of the body. And most importantly, it sends chemical messages that flow to the ovaries and causes them to produce massive amounts of estrogen. Mm. So that's chemically what's going on.
So what you're saying is there is a physical, biological reason for mm-hmm. a lot of the upheaval that these parents are seeing.
Absolutely. And if you try to explain it only in terms of social pressure and the other characteristics of adolescence, you won't really get at it because there's something else here that is absolutely driving those emotions. Now, that estrogen that is emitted by the ovaries flows through the body, through the blood, and marinates the female brain, which stimulates maturation and sexual development. So it's a feedback mechanism that goes from the brain to the ovaries and then throughout the whole body and all the glands of the body. Mm-hmm. Everything is affected by it. And from this transformation comes the miracle of ovulation, which makes procreation possible, and what some people consider to be the curse of menstruation. It's a shame that it's described that way because it's part of the miracle too, but that is the way it's viewed. Now, estrogen also influences a multitude of functions and emotions, and I would like our listeners to really pay attention to what I'm going to say right here. Those emotions include anger, sorrow, joy, memory, aggression, thirst, weight, fat distribution, which rounds out the body, and the development of secondary sex characteristics such as pubic hair and breast development. In short, these hormones bring about a complete makeover of the body and the personality. Everything changes in response to them. They will never be the same again. In fact, I wrote in my book, so brace yourself, mom and dad, when you see these little green buds appearing on your little girl's tree, you know that childhood is over and she's growing up. And there's no backing up on that road. But that road between there and adulthood is often very, very rocky.
Dad, do the changes really occur that suddenly, as you said?
Well, let me modify that just a bit. Hormones begin to have an effect on a little girl at about 8 years of age, but the parents may not notice them because they're very subtle. But when your daughters are about 12, the changes are undeniable. They're dramatic, and it can be like fireworks on the 4th of July. So
let's take a look at that from the girl's point of view. Tell us what you would imagine a 12 or 13-year-old girl is starting to think herself when all of this is happening to her.
Well, it's very important for parents to get a fix on the answer to that question because once these developmental changes begin to occur, they can be deeply disturbing to a girl who hasn't been told what's happening mm-hmm. to her body because it's so bewildering. She can worry herself sick about sore breast buds. Do I have cancer or menstruation? Am I bleeding to death? And other fears that are associated with these physical changes. That's why it's so very important for parents to prepare your daughters for puberty and adolescence. Don't let them just wander into that time without any understanding of themselves. Not only should they come to understand the approaching physical changes, but they should also be informed of these wildly fluctuating emotions that will accompany this time of life. And especially, this is very important, and I put it in my recorded series, Preparing for Adolescence. Doubts about personal worth are inevitable during that time. It must be anticipated and explained in advance. When you begin to feel worthless, nobody cares, I'm a total failure, I'm ugly, I'm not acceptable to the opposite sex, those things simply go with it, and it's part of the anger that Heather was expressing. So when I said that what happened to Heather in the sixth grade when the boys were making fun of her body, that was the backdrop, she would have been able to deal with that better 3 years mm-hmm. before or 5 years after. But you put those things together and you have this sensitivity and this vulnerability along with harassment from mm-hmm. peers, boy, you've got a volatile cocktail, I'll tell you.
Well, even hearing the name of your book, Doctor, Preparing for Adolescence, that's a key point. And I'm thinking, as a mom, I don't really want to have to introduce my child to those concepts until I see them hitting them. Like, I'm thinking of someone listening who has an 8 or 9 year old, and their little girl is carefree and happy and frolicking along. And what you're saying is, okay, you need to sit them down and say, everything is kind of rosy right now, yeah. but you need to know some things are coming. That feels a little like I'm shattering her innocence, and I don't really want to introduce that to her.
Luann, timing is absolutely everything. I would never recommend anybody doing this, but if you go out to a railroad track and you put your ear down to the track, you can hear the train coming. If you're paying attention, you can see puberty coming. Hmm. And you want to time this explanation immediately prior to all these questions coming up. And you want to begin preparing them for the stresses associated with this, because it can be terrifying. Mm-hmm. It can be terrifying, and it can also assault your very personhood. You may remember in Preparing for Adolescence that I talked about the canyon of inferiority. You're driving along on a road, and I'm like a man beside the road with red flags, and I'm waving them, and I'm trying to tell the teenager with that series, be careful, the bridge is out. Mm-hmm. And if you keep going down this road, you're likely to fall down into that canyon. But you're going to come out of it. You're going to come out of the other side. It just goes with the territory.
Doctor, you just referred to Heather Anderson there in the program we aired. Let's go back to that just a minute. So are you saying that her personality, her anger, that self-hatred and the meanness, a lot of that was hormonally driven?
The answer is yes. Although, once again, I don't want to minimize the pressures that are on teenagers socially, being accepted, being rejected, all the things that that they go through at that time is also part of the problem. But what we heard described in that recorded interview is classically characteristic of puberty itself. The hormonal barrage that initiates puberty is highly traumatic mm-hmm. to the female brain. This is the point I hope parents will grab onto mm-hmm. because it can throw a girl into complete disequilibrium until she begins to adjust to it. And that may take several years. Let me read something again from Bringing Up Girls that I think will be helpful. I said that this is why parents must take the time to understand what a girl is going through. From pubescence through adolescence, there will be recurring times of moodiness, anxiety, anger, self-pity, and depression. There will also be periods of giddiness and glee and elation and happiness. Emotions are on a roller coaster from the peak to the valley, from one day or 1 hour to the next. The entire family sometimes hangs on for dear life until things start to settle down. For some girls, the return of calmer water and calmer sailing can take 5 years or longer. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, surging levels of estrogen and progesterone will continue to affect the behavior and the personality. They have the female brain and parents rocking and reeling.
And you've just described many households out there right now going, I think Dr. Dobson has visited my house right now. That's what it's like.
You've said it before. Just get them through it. You know, something else in the book, Dad, you quoted a lot from a book called The Female Brain, which describes the chemical process of what's going on in a girl's brain when she's being besieged by estrogen and hormones. Why did that book stand out to you so much?
Because I think it is the very best book on this subject that's been written.
And who wrote this?
Dr. Brizendine is the author, Lou Anne Brizendine. She is a psychiatrist, a Yale-trained psychiatrist, and she knows what she's talking about. Early in her medical career, she noticed that women have certain emotional characteristics that men don't, or at least not to the same degree.
For
example, depression is much more common in women than it is in men. And so she began looking at the chemical reasons for this and went on to start a clinic for women. And I think she understands this issue better than anybody else. And I did lean on her a lot in my book. Let me read a quote that came from this book. Once again, it's Dr. Lou Anne Brizendine, and her book is called The Female Brain. And she's describing what an adolescent girl is like in the midst of all these hormones. And she says, drama, drama, drama. That's what's happening in a teen girl's life and in a teen girl's brain. Quote, Mom, I so totally can't go to school. I just found out Brian likes me and I have a huge zit and no concealer. How can you even think I'll go? And the next one, homework. I told you I'm not doing any more until you promise to send me away to school. I can't stand living with you one more minute. No, I'm not done talking on the phone to Eve. It has not been 2 hours, and I'm not getting off the phone. This is what you get if you have a modern version of a teen girl brain in your house. With this new estrogen-driven reality, aggression also plays a big role. The teen girl's brain will make her feel powerful, always right, and blind to consequences. Without that drive, she'll never be able to grow up. So it does play a role in development. But getting through it, especially for a teen girl, isn't easy. As she begins to experience her full girl power, which includes premenstrual syndrome, PMS, sexual competition, and controlling girl groups, her brain states can often make her reality, well, a little hellish.
Doctor, I got a kick out of you trying to act like a teenage girl. You got to put a whole lot more wine into that. Mom, how come you did it? You got to have all the acting.
Believe me, I've heard it. I've heard it. I may not be able to duplicate it.
I'm not sure the always right thing stops at the teen years. I think that may continue. Also, I got to be honest. After hearing you read that, I am even more happy that Lincoln is a boy than I was before.
Well, I wouldn't be too self-congratulatory about that, Ryan. Boys have their own set of weird emotions during puberty.
That's good to hear.
But at least I understand that, and I've gone through
that
myself.
But we're always right. So.
Yeah, exactly.
In fact, you know, if we have time, I'll share a few things that you can expect in the years to come. I talked about that in bringing up boys. So we are focusing kind of unfairly on girls today and on women today.
Doctor, as you're reading that, I know I am instantly thrown right back into my fifth grade. I was a little younger in my class, and I was more of a late bloomer. So I remember watching these things happen with all of my friends before I experienced them personally. And even as you're describing that, I've got to wonder, how much does personality play into this? Because don't these reactions kind of vary from person to person?
Yes, and you said you were young, and that plays a role too. I can identify with that, Luann, because I lived in a neighborhood with boys a year older than me. And I was accepted by them all through childhood. But they went into puberty before I did, and that was extremely disconcerting to me and painful to me because they were growing up and I hadn't. They were getting their growth spurt and I wasn't. And they also didn't accept me for a period of time. And the seventh and eighth grades were the two toughest years of my life. I've talked about that before. That's the reason right there. The timing of this is everything. But let's go specifically to your question. According to a report issued by the National Institutes of Mental Health. Approximately 10 to 20% of teen girls experience what they called a continuing state of crisis that's physical, emotional, and mental in nature.
Only 10 to 20% have that extreme that you're talking about.
That's right. You know, the stress hormones, especially cortisol, surge through the body and the brain in some girls much more than others. And approximately 80 to 90% of the girls, they journey through these early adolescent years much easier than I've described today. It's really important for people to understand that. Not every girl goes through the same thing. We are all different. But the truth of the matter is it's really a matter of degree because most pubescent girls struggle one way or another, and so do their parents and siblings as well. Once again, it's a matter of degree.
You've emphasized the word timing when it comes to puberty, Dad. Some girls start early, some girls start late. What determines that process and when it starts?
Well, basically, it's genetically controlled. When the time is right, the hypothalamus begins barking orders to the pituitary gland and off we go. But there are other factors that affect the menarche or the first menstruation in girls. And there's some just fascinating new research on this subject. For one thing, the better the nutrition and the general health in a child, the earlier the onset of puberty. This is why both boys and girls are developing earlier now than in times past. Listen to these numbers. I don't want to overwhelm everybody with figures, but this is important. The menarche in Western nations dropped from 17 years in 1830 to 12.8 in 1962.
Wow.
American records show that it was 14.6 in 1920, 13.1 in 1950, 12.5 in 1980, and 12.2 in 1992. So the perception that kids are growing up earlier today is valid. There's another factor that just fascinates me, and this is fairly recent news. When a girl has a very close relationship with her father, he meets her needs, he affirms her, he tells her she is pretty, she is everything to him. Puberty is delayed. And when he is abusive or sometimes absent or aggressive with her or in any way is not what she needs him to be, she grows up sooner. And no one knows exactly how that mechanism works. But apparently it is driven by the fact that a girl who is not happy at home may very well be into a love relationship sooner in order to get out of there. And her body begins to prepare her for it. Isn't
that
incredible?
Amazing. A little disheartening to the single moms listening right now, but that reminder that you've always said of how important it is to have that male role model in the home.
Yeah, you have to find a substitute, whether it is a grandfather or a neighbor or a coach or an uncle, someone who can be a father figure to that girl, because there's a need there which a mother cannot satisfy.
Well, it's kind of like a creator knew what he was doing when he created a mom and a dad. I mean, I cannot tell you how many times we've said that in the Crane house when I've looked at my kids and I said, and Steve and I disagree on something, this is why you have a dad and a mom, because we bring the complete package together.
And you know, what we've been talking about today is miraculous.
Yeah.
I mean, it is wonderful that children are children as long as they are. That was God's design. But Paul said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. So there is a time to make this transition. And it's all done chemically. And again, it's wonderful the way it takes place. But the transition is tough. I mean, we have to admit that. It can be tough.
No doubt about that. What a highly practical parenting conversation today on Family Talk. We're revisiting this discussion we had with my dad not too long ago to give him some much-needed rest as he recovers from the broken bones he suffered after a horse riding accident recently.
And we're very happy to do that, Ryan. We're all obviously praying for a very swift recovery, which again is why he's taking this week off.
Well, and Luann, speaking of prayers, I just want to thank all of our listeners who have expressed prayers and well wishes via email and on our Facebook page. I cannot tell you how much it means, and I trust that my dad is feeling those prayers.
And of course, for updates on Dr. Dobson's recovery, or even to leave your own thoughts and well wishes for him, visit our Facebook page. You can easily access that at familytalk.org. Also there, request a copy of Dr. Dobson's book, Bringing Up Girls, which this program has focused on today, as well as Preparing for Adolescence, which he also referenced.
If you'd prefer to call us for either of those books, our number is 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825. And while you're on the line, if you could donate to the work of Family Talk, we would appreciate that greatly as well.
You can also give while you're there at familytalk.org. Thanks so much for listening, and don't miss the second half of this conversation next time on Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson.